From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made last month in Oregon, where track star Sha'Carri Richardson won the 100 meters in the Olympic trials. The 21-year-old was a gold medal contender for Tokyo and the talk of the track world. But now the sprinting sensation will watch the games from home. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency announced that Richardson had tested positive for marijuana, leading to a one-month suspension. Richardson said she knew the rules, but she used marijuana to help cope with the death of her mother. She says she learned the news from a reporter. As reported by ESPN, she said, quote, "We all have our different struggles. We all have our different things we deal with. But to put on a face and to have to go out in front of the world and put on a face and hide my pain, who are you? Who am I to tell you how to cope when you're dealing with the pain or you're dealing with a struggle that you've never experienced before or that you never thought you'd have to deal with? Who am I to tell you how to cope? Who am I to tell you that you're wrong for hurting?" End quote. On Twitter, she wrote, quote, "I am human." Congressman Jamie Raskin and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called on the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency to end Richardson's suspension. While the agency said it wants to mitigate harsh consequences and change the rules regarding marijuana, which is not a performance-enhancing drug for sprinters, the agency replied that it does not make or vote on them, and it has to enforce the rules. While some people, including an Olympic gymnast named Dominic Dawes, have said that the rules are the rules, critics of the suspension are defending Richardson. A number of celebrities and public figures have been really all over the place talking about this. Actress Gabrielle Union wrote, quote, "Weed is great for many a thing, but running faster isn't one of them. Let her run," end quote. Former NBA star Dwayne Wade wrote, quote, "Majority of y'all rulemakers smoke and probably are investors in THC companies. Let's stop playing these games," end quote. And author Roxane Gay said, quote, "You're amazing at what you do. All the best," end quote. She was directing that, of course, to the sprinter. Critics of the suspension say it's time to address the stigma surrounding marijuana, which, again, is not a performance-enhancing drug for these athletes. This hour, our guests address that stigma, especially in light of the drug's legalization in New York State and 17 other states. I'd like to welcome Mary Krueger, Executive Director of Rock Normal. Mary, welcome back to the program. Remind listeners what Rock Normal is.
Thanks for having us, Evan. So, Rock Normal is the register affiliate of the National Organization for Reform of Marijuana Laws. We are a nonprofit cannabis consumer advocacy organization.
Barbara Rivera is here, lead tenant organizer for the Citywide Tenant Union of Rochester, here to share her own personal story. Barbara, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Evan.
And Jasmine Regler is on the line with us, House Coordinator for the St. Joseph's House of Hospitality and Political Coordinator for the Citywide Tenant Union of Rochester. Jasmine, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
It was 2007 that I was a morning news anchor, and most of the time when you're a news anchor and you're reading scripts, you know, you've read them in advance or you've often written them. This was one of those kind of wild mornings where the entertainment block of news, I had not read my scripts in advance. I was reading them cold on the air. I'm being honest here. And I get to a script in which I'm reading the story, and it says, "Fans of Gilligan's Island will have their idyllic image of one of the actors shattered." And in my brain, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, she killed somebody or something really. And it was, "Police found a small bag of weed in her car after a stop on the freeway in California." And I said on the air, "That's it? That's all? This is all over a bag of weed?" I said that on the air. And I got phone calls. I got older viewers saying, "You can't minimize this. How dare you?" But I thought, what are we doing here? And that was almost 15 years ago. I am surprised here with legalization happening. I mean, Mary's wearing a shirt that said, what does your shirt say?
Marijuana is safer than alcohol.
Okay. I mean, are you surprised at this, Mary, the story with the sprinter? And maybe I'm being naive here, because I know the laws have never really been enforced equitably. Mm-hmm. But are you surprised in 2021 that this just happened?
I'm not surprised, unfortunately. You know, in the years leading up to legalization in New York, and even still after legalization has happened, we're having conversation with folks all the time, just mass information is out there, right? Folks are just so misinformed about what marijuana actually is, what it does, what the public health safety concerns are around it. And I'm not surprised that these stigmas are still existing and that, you know, it's being carried out on a black woman. Not surprised at all.
Barbara, what did you think when you heard this story?
I was shocked. I was just like, I can't believe that we're doing this right now. Especially to an individual who has proven themselves to be a phenomenal athlete. And honestly, like, how else would you deal with hearing the news of your mom passing, especially from a reporter? You would think that you would rather hear that from close family or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Jasmine Regler. I mean, I take both Mary and Barbara's point that it's shocking, but not maybe shocking, but not surprising. I mean, how do you see it, Jasmine?
So I'm not surprised at all. It actually saddens me that this is still happening, especially when we have a lot of states in our country legalizing cannabis already. And it just seems like this is another attempt to hold black people behind. She's doing what she needs to. It's cannabis. I mean, it's a plant. We have other athletes who were using harder drugs. We have Shelby Houlihan, who was found with steroids. She blamed it on a pork sandwich. She's not getting as much attention as Sha'Carri is, and she's saying that she's going to fight this. And it's like, why aren't we coming down on Shelby? Why are we coming, which steroids is a enhancement performing drug. And it's like, but we're going to come down on this woman for smoking cannabis, which is legal in a lot of states already. It makes no sense.
Well, and so let's talk a little bit about why some of our guests are already bringing up a disproportionate enforcement. So I want to hit on a couple of points here and then ask our guests about this. First of all, Sha'Carri Richardson is a world-class athlete. As we mentioned, was a gold medal contender, 21 years old. Michael Phelps is a name that most people know. I mean, that is as close to a household name as you'll get from an Olympian. I mean, he's a swimmer, of course, and won 28 medals. And here's what Yahoo writes about Michael Phelps in relation to the Sha'Carri Richardson story. Quote, Phelps, 36 years old now, is the most decorated Olympian of all time. The competitor in four Olympic Games and holder of the record for most Olympic gold medals is currently the spokesman for Talkspace, a mental health website, after admitting he battled substance abuse and depression. People keep bringing up Michael Phelps' bong pics and suspension, the journalist Chuck Modi wrote on Twitter. Well, that was like 1% of it. He was protected for years before and after that. Some of it was public. There was a 2004 DUI, 2014 DUI. And a whole lot more of it was private. There are plenty of stories, and Michael Phelps has been protected his whole career, end quote. So I'm not here to say that Michael Phelps shouldn't have been treated with grace or care. I'm wondering why Michael Phelps would, and Sha'Carri Richardson perhaps isn't. Jasmine, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I mean, and it's very, when you bring up those two, it's very clear. Michael Phelps was protected because he is the standard of what American society wants. He is a straight white male. Sha'Carri Richardson is not that. She is a gay black female. So, of course, Michael is going to be protected. It's not okay. I mean, and if we are going to do it, we need to do it across the whole system. Sha'Carri should be protected just as much as Michael should. We have pictures of Michael using drugs, and all he gets is a suspension. This woman admitted what she did was wrong, and here we are still trying to punish her. So it is absolutely, most people won't say it. It's because he's a white male. We protect the white men in our society, and we do not care about the black women in our society. And this is just showing on an athletic level. This happens in every type of institution that you have in our country.
Author Keenan Norris wrote for the LA Times on racism in this regard. Norris writes, quote, those who insist on the continued prohibition of marijuana in athletics or at the level of state and federal legislation need to reflect upon the real harms that such rules cause, as well as the deeper, perhaps unconscious motives behind their beliefs. The racist roots of marijuana prohibition in America are well documented. African Americans like Richardson have suffered disproportionately in the criminal justice system's war on drugs, feeding prisons, and giving the U.S. its dubious distinction as the most incarcerating nation in the world, end quote. Barbara, what do you make of that? Is that just the reality?
You know, like, the reality is that people of color are always held with this accountability that we're terrible people for smoking weed or dealing with our mental health. And, you know, and then I'm awfully tired of hearing of like how praised white folks are. Like Michael Phelps was praised for admitting that he had mental health issues and that he had a drinking issue. And yeah, he admitted, like, yes, I smoked weed, like, only because there was a picture evidence, you know? Why isn't that same remorse is going for Sha'Carri? Her mother passed. She's, you know, carrying her family and everything else with her, you know? It's terrible that there's so much, you know, just this negativity around marijuana. Marijuana helps a lot of people. That's a proven fact. Like, that is an actual data, you know. It helps with people's anxiety. It helps them eat. Some people have issues with that. It helps them sleep. You know, some people have issues with that. You can go to any doctor and ask them, like, I'm having issues with sleeping, and automatically they're going to give you some pharmaceutical pill. And with marijuana, they will not recommend that because it's a drug and they think that it has this stigma, you know, but marijuana actually helps people. I really hate that that black and brown people are just dealing with this negativity around it while white folks are being praised.
What do you think, Mary Krueger?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I agree with everything that Barbara said. And I think in addition to that, there's, you know, piggybacking off of the point about prescription medication, you know, had Sha'Carri chose to deal with her depression and anxiety from her mother passing using prescription medication, we wouldn't be having this same conversation right now because she would have passed the drug test for performance-enhancing drugs. And it's really interesting when we look at the rules around marijuana testing and what that looks like from the World Doping Agency. They actually allow CBD to be used. It's just THC that they're, you know, saying is a performance-enhancing drug. And anyone who consumes THC knows that it's not performance-enhancing, right? It helps with many things, but it doesn't make you faster. And it is also interesting, Tashita Dawson, who is an expert in the cannabis industry, she had made a really good point of the amount of THC that was found in Sha'Carri's system at the point that she had tested positive. She had to have been testing positive before that point as well. There's rigorous testing that happens in those throughout this time. And so the fact that, you know, they didn't decide to have any repercussions for a positive THC test until she got to a certain point, I think there's some questions to be asked around that as well.
Well, I want to ask some of our guests to share their own experiences in these regards. And Barbara Rivera, can I start with you? What's your story and that sort of evokes some memories here, some echoes perhaps of what Sha'Carri Richardson's going through?
Well, I'll admit, I smoke weed. So I have definitely applied for jobs and gotten denied. For example, between 2018-19, I applied for AmeriCorps, the Flower City AmeriCorps, for a community organizing position. You know, I passed everything else. I got my paperwork in. I was really excited. I met the team. So I had high hopes that I was actually going to start this position. When they said that I had to get drug tested, I admitted. I was like, well, I don't think I'm going to pass this. But, like, my resume speaks for itself, you know. So, you know, obviously, I took the drug test. I tried my best to pass it, but, you know, it is what it is. I failed, and they denied me the position. But, you know, at the end of the day, I kept going. I kept applying for jobs. And lucky for me, you know, the tenant union kept me with them, and, you know, I work for them. And they don't drug test our people. We know how the system is rigged to keep black and people down. So why would we, as a grassroots organization, drug test the individuals who are trying to help our very own people, you know?
So when you're applying to AmeriCorps, for example, mm-hmm. and they tell you, we're going to have to drug test you, and you're up front with them saying, mm-hmm. you know, well, I don't think I'm going to pass. Did you ask them, you know, why is marijuana on your list here? Did you ask them?
I did. I, you know, I'm very curious. You know, people, I'm like, marijuana of all things, like, we all know what marijuana does to people. But they said because, you know, they've had folks in the past come in to work high, and they wasn't sure if it was marijuana or other, like, pills. You know, pills make you dopey, too, certain types of medications. And, you know, it's just marijuana in general has a bad stigma. So, of course, people are going to think negatively about it. So, I mean, from their perspective, they didn't have any good people joining the team that was smoking weed. But it's like you can't fault every single person. It's a lot of people who have certain health issues depend on marijuana. They have their marijuana card to help them, you know. So I feel like there's other, you know, people who sniff cocaine or shoot up heroin. You know, those drugs that stay in your system for about three days to about a week, you don't get drug tested for that, but you get tested for marijuana. Mm. If your urine comes out with any percentage of marijuana, that's it. You know, like, how it takes 30 days for marijuana to leave your system. So it's like, why would you put that on a person? It's like, I think I would rather drug test for cocaine and heroin because those are the most drugs that are actually, like, damaging to people.
Yeah, those are potentially medical emergencies for people. And,
yeah.
You know, I talked to the head of toxicology at Strong Hospital a number of years ago, especially when K2 spice, bath salt, the colloquial term for some of these drugs people were abusing, was more prevalent. I mean, those things are still there. But what was interesting was, marijuana at the time didn't have a whole lot of momentum for legalization like it does now. So a lot of people were doing K2 spice or synthetic weed, which turned out to make people a lot more at risk for overdose and other things. And he told me, the director of tox told me, he said, in 15 years in this job, I've seen maybe one person who we thought might have overdosed on marijuana. And he's like, even then, I'm not even sure that's exactly what happened. You know, you can smoke a lot, you can get really high, but what he was saying sort of bolsters Barbara's point that if you're looking at an actual medical emergency for a person's use, marijuana wasn't it for him. Now, having said that, let me ask you, before I ask Jasmine for some of her own experience, is there something to be said for an employer who says, hey, look, you do what you do in your own time, but we feel like if you're high, we don't think you're going to perform the work as well, and that's where our line in the sand is.
I feel like you're setting someone up to fail right then and there. Like, you're already putting this stigma on me that I smoke weed and that I'm not going to perform well at my job. Whatever I do outside of work, that's my business. But when I'm at work, I'm a professional. I'm taking this serious. I'm not going to come into work doped up and high to a point that I can't perform my job duties, you know what I mean? And I've worked in fast food and food industries most of my life. And, you know, I've waitressed at certain restaurants, and I've seen people come into work drunk, like literally drunk. And I worked at a restaurant where there was a bar, and the owner absolutely overlooked the fact that he had employees drinking on the job. Mm-hmm. But you're worried about people coming into work who are high on weed, who are actually going to do the job correctly. Because I've definitely worked with individuals who have, like, closed up a whole restaurant, like nothing, on their own. You know what I mean? Like, I actually would rather work with someone who had smoked a blunt versus someone who had took in a shot, because the work is different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mary, can you weigh in on that as executive director of Rock Normal? You know, Barbara's experience and how you would maybe advise employers to think about this if that employer is thinking, hey, look, we just can't have people come to work high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that with the legislation that we passed recently in New York, you know, employers are going to have very few choices around if they can continue to test for THC. So it really does become more of the conversation around, okay, what about consumption before or at work? What does that look like in places of employment? And, you know, I think we're going to find most employers kind of saying what Evan was saying, that, you know, I don't care what you do in your free time, but when you come into work, it's work. And you can't do that. But to Barbara's point, you know, when we just use this all-encompassing term, like getting high, there's a lot of negative connotations that go along with that, and a lot of folks are using it for therapeutic benefits. So it's really dependent on the person, the amount that you consume, what you're consuming for. But I know that, you know, I can take a couple hits in the morning and be perfectly productive. I know the point that I consume too much and I'm no longer productive, but I definitely do use it for medicinal benefits. And if someone were to ask me if I was high, the answer would be no. You know, I'm at my homeostasis. I'm doing things. We have an endocannabinoid system that your body, it's naturally has receptors to take in THC and CBD. And so I think it's more of a conversation around what does being high look like? You know, when is it to the point of overconsumption versus folks who are using it for medicinal reasons? And
how do you sort of kind of make that sort of how do you ascertain what overconsumption looks from your own perspective?
Mm-hmm. I think starting with less, you know, that's how you don't overconsume. So you take a hit or two and then you wait a half hour and see how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And if you want to consume more, and there's a point of, you know, being when you go into consuming, you're going into it of, I want to do this and I want to put myself kind of on another level, right? I want to kind of forget about things that are going on and relax in that way. So I'm going to consume a little bit more if I want to feel that way versus, okay, I've got a whole day of things in front of me. I just want to get myself feeling to kind of my regulated homeostasis. I don't like pharmaceuticals, so I choose to use all natural cannabis as mine.
Before I get Jasmine's story, let me grab a phone call from Andrew in Rochester who wants to weigh in on this. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, good morning. Good topic. I just want to throw in a few observations over my life. I've been drug tested ever since I was in the Navy. That was over 30 years ago for marijuana. And I've probably been drug tested 9 to 10 times, and I've passed all of them, and I've smoked pot my whole adult life. And it's like a big game. They usually let you know you're going to be drug tested and then you don't smoke pot for a while. But saying that, they mainly drug test blue-collar workers. You know, you work in a factory, oh, my God, you smoke, whatever. But they don't drug test lawyers, judges, doctors, scientists, people that are holding lives and, you know, people's lives in their hands. And I've always thought it was just the craziest thing, and I do think it has been used to hold people down, especially the people of color. And another thing is, and I'll just throw this out, years ago, I happened to go to a Buffalo Bills game, and we know that alcohol is the number one drug in America, and it's devastated way more lives than any other drug ever. You know, not even marijuana, not even comes close. But years ago, I went to a Buffalo Bill game with a friend, and I don't normally go to football games, but while I was there, 80,000 people, 20,000 people drunk off their butts, screaming profanities, fighting everywhere. And then the police letting them leave the stadium, you know, leave the parking lot. Nobody's getting in trouble because it's big business. Same stadium, Grateful Dead concert, 80,000 people. Not one fight, nobody screaming profanities. And I see them busting tons of people for marijuana. So the whole thing's been a big, I don't know, a big joke. So anyhow, it's about time to get rid of this drug testing because they're mainly drug testing blue collar workers. Thanks,
Andrew. Thank you for that. And you know, so Mary Kruger is the one who's got the shirt on that compares marijuana and alcohol. So I don't know what the research says, but I can certainly say anecdotally, I've heard a lot more of alcohol fueled rage than marijuana fueled rage. What do we know about that?
The research backs that up. You know, alcohol I'm drawing a blank on what it is, but I mean, anyone who consumes alcohol knows the way that that makes you feel, right? You are more likely to start problems with people. You have this heightened, that, you know, sense of being invincible. You're more likely to take risks. As opposed to marijuana, it definitely gives you more of a mellowed out feeling. You're never going to have to fight with someone to take away their keys because they're too high to drive. You know, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, I'm going to wait it out. And as opposed to, I've had friends who have actually had to physically fight their keys away from them because they've been drinking. I want to add to the point about, yeah, you know, how long THC's stays in your system and what we're drug testing for. A lot of drug tests are testing for everything, but because of, as Barbara was saying, THC is going to stay in your system for 30 to 90 days, could be more depending on how much you consume, how long you've been consuming. So it's really arbitrary, these drug tests that we're doing, because we really are only testing for THC, because if you're given a week's notice for a drug test, that's enough time not to do any of those other drugs that would come up in a drug test. As opposed to with THC, you could go 30 days without smoking and still have it in your system. Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if you want to share more of your thoughts and experiences, or just your feelings on stigma associated with marijuana, drug testing, legality, and sort of the broader outline of the Shikari Richardson story. Shikari Richardson won the 100 meters in the Olympic trials and was a gold medal contender for Tokyo in the Games. 21 years old, and now, because the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency says they've got to follow the rules, she tested positive for marijuana, and she's out. She's out of the Olympics. So we're talking about that and more. And after our only break, Jasmine Regler is going to share some experience about this particular subject as well. Jasmine is house coordinator for the St. Joseph's House of Hospitality and political coordinator for the Citywide Tenant Union. Barbara Rivera is here, lead tenant organizer for the tenant union. Mary Kruger, the executive director of Rock Normal. And we'll take more of your feedback in our second half hour as well. Coming up in our second hour, what should Democrats learn from the recent election? On primary night in Rochester, two activists won in their races for city council. They've talked about defunding police and reorganizing how we view community safety. In New York City, the Democrats chose Eric Adams, a former police officer who says people don't want to defund police. So where's the party moving? What lessons can we draw? We'll talk about it next hour.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. So Jasmine Regler, what is your experience that you can share that kind of tells the story, maybe in even more specific terms, about why you have such strong views on it here? I know that less than 2 years ago, you were shut out of a job as well.
Yes. So around the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, I was asked to be by Mary Lubien to be her legislative aide. And I worked with her in City Hall for a whole month, went to all the meetings to meet with the city department heads, started to get familiar with the staff within City Hall. And then my drug test came back and it tested positive for THC. And from that moment on, the city was like, you're done. And not even that you can't have this job, you can't apply for another city job for a year. So I was like, okay, I accepted that without fully accepting it. I just my due diligence, and I reached out to the mayor, reached out to city council, and started the conversation of let's change this policy. And I just provided them with the facts. Something like Mary said, I just told them how essentially they are only testing for THC because it stays in your system for 30 days. And when the city sends you the letter that you're drug testing, they tell you you have to do it within 5 days of getting a letter. So that allows for every other drug to get out your system except for THC. And I made the case how they only are testing for THC. And just by being persistent with the city, I was able to actually get them to end their policy within 4 months of testing for THC. So the city of Rochester, if you go for a job now for the city of Rochester, you will not be tested for THC. And this was a policy, mind you, that was on the books for 11 years. So many people were either getting turned away for jobs because of it or not even applying for jobs because they knew that they wouldn't get it because of this.
But Jasmine, can you help me understand something a little bit? I mean, we live in a city where the leadership has been talking, especially this year, about reparations, about undoing or at least trying to start making strides in a much more equitable direction, understanding the racist history. Mayor Warren has talked about this. Mayor Warren has talked about how we can't do things this way anymore. If we've got city leadership that is saying those things, why did you go through what you went through? Help me understand some of that.
Because saying and doing are two different things. They say things to keep the community at bay, to keep the community calm. You can keep saying and saying you're going to do this, and people will not say anything because they're looking forward to what you're saying. But then when it comes time to it affecting someone, that person actually is the one that does the work. So I think that's where you see the difference. The city is saying this, but, and I can't speak for everyone in the city, but they have not been affected by this policy. I think it takes someone to be affected by it to actually bring the change, because if anything, the policy should have been changed. Once we had new leadership on, and leadership that represented the communities that are being turned away, Black and brown people, that new mayor, that new administration, that new leadership should have already looked into that policy to change it. It shouldn't have stayed on the books and then someone get turned down to speak about it. Because I'm not the first person that got turned down. I'm just the first person to speak up about it.
You're saying when there was a new mayor 8 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to return in a moment to what our guests think then needs to happen going forward at different levels. I mean, there's a lot of talk about federally, but a lot of things are happening at different levels, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. Let me grab James in Brighton on the phone. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to make a quick comment on, you know, them testing blue-collar workers more often or more frequently. And being in the trades for about 14 or 15 years now, I've been a tree climber for about 12 years. I can completely attest to that. I work for a pretty prestigious company in the area here, and I won't mention who it is, but I had a close friend who's an incredibly hard worker who has tree work experience, and he needed work. He contacted me and said, "Hey, man, is your company hiring?" And like every other trade company out there, I said, "Heck yeah, you know, go put in an application." Puts in the application, sits down with the owner, calls me afterwards and says, "Well, I'm not going to go." And I said, "Well, why not?" He goes, "Well, you guys drug test." And I'm like, "Well, what do you got in your system, man?" And he goes, "Well, THC, I smoke marijuana." And I was just absolutely flabbergasted by that. I mean, here we are losing out on a high skill level individual who's 100% functioning within society and has, you know, no tendency to, you know, do anything dangerous when he's smoking marijuana, getting turned away from, you know, a pretty prestigious job. And it's just, it's infuriating to say the least that this stigma still exists. And I followed up with the owner and said something to him about it. And he goes, "Well, would you want to work with somebody that is high on marijuana or smoked last night?" And I wanted to tell him, "Well, for 10 years, I smoked every night. You know, this destroys my body. And this is a medicinal thing that I do for myself to calm down, go to sleep, that sort of thing." So I wanted to mention that it does seem to be something that is used to target blue collar workers in particular, or the lower echelon of workers. I mean, they don't drug test people that are working in our offices, but they drug test us. And it could be said, "Well, we're using heavy equipment," but in the same sense, you know, it should be a blanket thing, and it's not.
James, thank you for that. Let me ask all three guests to respond. Jasmine Regler, what do you think?
I agree with him. And I the thing I don't understand with cannabis, why is cannabis the only drug that people think people are going to go high to or under the influence of? We don't say that for alcohol. We don't say, "Oh, this person may come in drunk." We don't say that for cocaine or heroin. Cannabis is the only thing that gets a stigma, and it's the least fatal of all the drugs, but it gets the harshest sentiments about it. Like, that's the one thing I always hear. "Well, you don't want them coming to work high." And it's like, well, why don't we say that for alcohol and the other drugs? Why is it that we only associate cannabis with people who are going to be smoking all day, every day, and coming to work high? That just is not the case. And if someone can come to work high on cannabis, they can come to work drunk and high on all those other drugs. So why aren't we speaking on those? And those drugs and substances are actually more lethal and fatal than cannabis ever will be.
What do you think, Barbara? What do you make of James's comments about who gets targeted for these kind of drug tests?
Yeah, I 100% agree with him. I actually know a family member who was driving a forklift under the influence of muscle relaxers and alcohol, and she got really hurt. As long as I've been smoking weed, I have never gotten hurt on the job. Friends that I've known who has smoked weed have never gotten hurt on the job. But, like, you'll automatically, like, this poor guy probably was a good asset to that company you just lost out on a good worker, someone who could have elevated your company because you chose to drug test them for marijuana. And you're like saying that that's not okay. Like, but you don't know like what people's issues are. You have to get to know people and know like, hey, why are you smoking weed? And let them tell you why. You know, I smoke weed to help me with my anxiety and to help me sleep at night, you know, and I don't do it to just party and, you know, and to piggyback off of her, she, you know, she made a valid point. I know my limits. I know first thing in the morning when I wake up and I'm having anxiety and I'm not going to be able to function for the day, I can take two hits and be all right and be at a position where I'm like, all right, I can conquer the day. I'm not going to go to work obliviated to the point where I'm not, you know, dysfunctional. Mm-hmm.
Mary, what do you think?
Agree with the statement of, you know, this is definitely something that's targeted to blue collar workers. I have never heard of, like you were saying, a lawyer, a doctor, a judge being drug tested. I personally know plenty of lawyers, doctors, and judges that consume cannabis, and they're able to do their job just as if someone who didn't consume cannabis. And I think that's part of the huge just stigma around cannabis, that if you consume cannabis at any point, that means that you are less worthy of having gainful employment or less worthy or less capable of doing a responsible job than someone who has no THC in their system. When that's just not the reality, it's arbitrary to think that, because you could have THC in your system from consuming cannabis a month ago and it has no impact on your performance. And, you know, to the caller's point, when their boss had asked them, well, would you want someone coming in stoned or high and working with them? I'd rather have that than someone coming in hungover, even, right? How I feel after drinking too much alcohol compared to how I feel the next morning after maybe consuming a little too much cannabis are drastically different. And I think there's just so much stigma around cannabis when alcohol has been something that's so normalized.
Let me read some feedback from listeners that takes us in quite a few directions here. First of all, SG says, one distinction worth making is that alcohol is considered a toxin. When somebody is drunk, we say they are intoxicated. If you drink enough alcohol, you can literally kill yourself. There is no such concern with marijuana or THC. So there's one distinction. This is Bob, who says, Evan, I'm a middle-aged white guy, and I absolutely love Shikari Richardson. I love everything about her. I love she's the person to beat at the Olympics. And this suspension dilutes the competition because they don't have the honor to compete against the best now. No reasonable person would conclude that marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. By default, in my mind, she's already won, and the other competitors will have to wait till the next Olympics to prove themselves. In general, I feel that the marijuana laws don't make any sense and need to go away. Also, most people I know who went to college, including lawmakers, used marijuana at one time or another. It all just seems hypocritical. That is from Bob. But Steven says, I have an objection to the blanket statement that weed couldn't be used to enhance performance. If an athlete trained hard under it and were then withdrawn a day or two before an event, the resulting uplift would be quite noticeable. I'm a lifelong pot smoker. Believe me, it would work, and I know it. I don't know exactly what he's saying, Mary. Do you know? I'm trying to understand what Steve is saying there in this email.
No, I'm not understanding.
If an athlete trained hard under weed and were then withdrawn a day or two before an event, the resulting uplift would be quite noticeable.
So I think he's saying that if you take a break from consuming, his personal experience, that in a few days after, he has an uplifting effect from it. I have never experienced that when I take a break.
Okay. Yeah. Anything you
yeah,
want to
know? Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know what he's saying with that.
Jasmine, can you make out what he, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Steven.
No, I don't
either.
I just
don't know what he's saying.
Anything, it seems like he would be proving our point in a way. Like he's saying if you take a break from it, you actually would do better. So it's like, what are you saying? That's what I'm getting from him. He's saying that if you do it all the time and then you take a break, you actually would do better. So you're doing better under normal circumstances, not because of the drug. It's actually because of lack of the drug.
Mm.
That's what I'm taking from it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so, but that still doesn't make marijuana a performance enhancer.
No.
Exactly. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, if anything, it's him proving our point that she... that if someone trained under it, they actually would do better without it.
Yeah, I think that's probably the fair interpretation of that email. Stephen, if I'm wrong, send me a note back. Michael says, a friend of mine worked for the city. He loved to smoke the herb. When the city wanted started drug testing, he quit because he wanted to keep his job and retire at 55 with a pension. I think meditation, yoga, or Tai Chi are better for relaxation than marijuana is. Mary Kruger, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Meditation, yoga, Tai Chi? I mean, different people use different things, right?
To each their own. Yeah. I also do yoga as well, but I find it's elevated with cannabis.
Yeah, I meditate, so I also find it helpful when I'm smoking cannabis, so I don't know.
Yeah, Jasmine, anything you want to add there about meditation?
I would just say what Mary said, to each their own. Everyone has something different. We shouldn't knock each other for what they do to achieve that moment. If it's, as long as they're not harming anyone in the process, we shouldn't care how someone gets it. Mm-hmm. If they're not harming themselves or others.
Deborah writes, and Deborah is a doctor. She says, doctors are tested for drugs on employment intake, but nobody much pays attention to sleep deprivation, which can be a severe impairment for doctors. It's also true for pilots. It's true in a lot of ways. So I think part of what Deborah is saying is, we are inconsistent in what we claim that we care about in terms of evaluating whether someone's performance is safe, effective, good. So, I appreciate that, Deborah. And the last thing we've seen, not often, but we've seen even stories of pilots who were absolutely overworked, not a lot of sleep, and very scary results happened in the air. So, and that's not because they were high. It's because, you know, they're working unbelievable amounts of shifts back to back to back to back. Let me get Peter from Rochester on the phone next. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, hi, thanks. In Fairport, the single game scoring record was held by George Slade back in the 70s, and it was 42 points in a game. And it's common knowledge throughout circles that he was blazed. I think that thinking about development, I went through the 70s, and, what are you talking about, when's a good time? Because development is precious, and it's really easy to throw a wrench in that. A motivational system or syndrome is a real thing, and anxiety is real, but in the moment, taking some hits doesn't solve the problem or cope long-term with the problems that are going to be there. So it can be a crutch, and it's something that, as far as coping goes, kind of an iffy thing.
Peter, let's try to address the, thank you for the phone call. First of all, I had no idea that weed could give you a good jump shot. I mean, that's that is new to me. Though, can we also just be real? There's a lot of NBA players who smoke weed.
Yeah.
And they don't have good jumpers because they smoke weed. They just, it helps them relax. Mm-hmm. And you talk about protecting athletes. Usually the more powerful and the more money you make for someone, the more they will protect you. Though, what we're finding out is not always. So, but to Peter's other point, let me ask all three of you about this. I don't know, Peter. I mean, like, people are different. I guess I get the point that people are dealing with problems in their lives that are long term, and you're concerned that taking a hit or two might get you through the day, but it's not fixing the problem long term. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's fair. People are going to handle things in different ways. And for some people, what they need is something to get them through the day. Maybe that is what, sort of is what they need to fix, is can you get through a work day? Can you get through a social interaction? But I don't know. I mean, Barbara, what do you think?
Of course. Just like Mary said, to each their own. I feel like people choose things to cope in different ways. For instance, currently in this city, how many overdoses have we had? People are dealing with a lot of depression. We're getting out of a pandemic. People are using things to cope with their mental health. Mm-hmm. I have not heard anyone overdose over marijuana in the entire years of my life. But I've heard so many people overdose on cocaine, on heroin, I just don't know. I'm not going to judge someone for using marijuana to deal with their depression or to meditate or whatever have you. If that's what helps you get through the day, if you're happy and you're enlightened in your own way by it, by all means, do it. Do what makes you happy. But when it comes to the harsher drugs, like, you know, like I said, cocaine and all that, why aren't we putting more pressure around those? We've had, in the month of June, I think about 100 and something overdoses, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and no one's batting an eye on that.
No, there's tragedy all the time. Yeah.
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 You know, what are we doing to help those individuals who are dealing with that type of stuff, you know?
Mary, what do you think of Peter's comments about solving problems long-term and how weed is sort of a short-term fix?
I think the same could be said about prescription medication as well, right? It's about how the individual is trying to move forward with whatever coping mechanism they're using to help get them through the day. You know, I lost my mom a year and a half ago, and without cannabis, I never would have made it through to the point where I'm no longer in that depression that I was in for a year and am able to do the things that I did before, you know. And I was considering trying prescription medication at one point, but did talk therapy and cannabis. And, you know, just like anything, you can overconsume cannabis. You can use it irresponsibly. So it's a matter of having that and other coping things. And it's about the person themselves.
But that doesn't mean that you didn't emote over your mother's death, right? I mean, there's a difference between saying I'm entering a depression that could derail me and maybe derail my life for, for a while or permanently, versus, like, you know, I don't want to engage with emotion. I that's not what I'm hearing from you.
No, no. And I think that you can use cannabis as a way to just suppress your emotions, to just not deal with the thing that needs to be dealt with. And, you know, in that way, it can keep people in the same place. So it's about being responsible with it, because cannabis is a drug. You know, it does have an effect on you. And especially with, we don't just have the flower anymore. We have concentrated cannabis, right, that is so much higher in potency and takes you to that next level a lot quicker. So I think it's, again, just being a responsible consumer and knowing that it can suppress your emotions if you let it, and having other coping skills as well.
Okay, Jasmine, what do you think?
So me personally, I don't think anything really is effective in dealing with issues. I think you have to get to the root cause of it. I think it can help, but it won't fully solve the problem. Me, I just use cannabis because I like cannabis. I call myself, and other people call me, a cannabis connoisseur. It's like people who like wine. You go home at the end of the day and you have a glass of wine. I just use it because I like cannabis. It's not because I'm trying to cope or to deal with anything, because I think that comes naturally. And I'm not, people who do use it to cope and deal with stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just,
no.
You can't say that people only use it because they're dealing with some type of, you know, outside stimulus. That's not true.
Let me just say, Jasmine, like, I started to laugh because I want to explain. I'm laughing because I literally wrote a book about wine 10 years ago. And
really?
I was celebrated for it. Like, I won an award and people wanted to invite me to dinners. If I wrote a book about weed 10 years ago, people would be like,
Who are you?
Yeah, what is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to end.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. So I'm laughing at the juxtaposition of that, because I think you're really making me think about that. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really do. So real briefly, let me do one thing. I'm going to grab Irene and Fairport real quick, and then we're going to close on a note. I want to know what our guests want us to do next about all this. Irene, got to keep it tight. Go ahead.
Sure, Evan. Thank you for the program.
Yeah, yeah.
My question was, being a competitor that this particular person is for the Olympics, should she be aware of what she's being tested for? And if the Olympics decides to not test anymore for marijuana, that would be fine. But should she have been aware that she was going to be tested for marijuana? That was my question.
All right, Irene, thank you. Mary Krueger, what do you think?
I think that she was aware that she was being tested for it. And as I'd said earlier, you know, the amount of THC that was found in her system, she had been testing positive up and before the point that it was made public. So it's, when do they want to execute those rules? It's very up to their discretion.
Thank you, Irene. So let me close with this. There's a lot of things that are happening in terms of state legalization. There's talk about drug schedules and where marijuana falls and what rules agencies are doing. and there's talk about city action in various places. Jasmine, 45 seconds. What needs to happen next here?
Well, the city already ended testing for THC, so now we need to get all city employers to stop testing for THC, and that's what I'm going to begin to advocate for, because I did it with the city, got that done in 4 months, but now moving on to the whole city and their employers not testing for THC.
Are you optimistic on that?
I am.
Barbara Rivera, what do you think needs to happen next?
I agree with Jasmine. Now it's time to make some real changes. It's legal now, right? And we all know that marijuana is used for medicinal purposes. And I support Jasmine on this. Like, it's about time. Like, marijuana, really? Are we really going to hold this woman accountable for smoking marijuana when she has proven herself time and time again that she is a fantastic athlete? Seriously? Come on. Got to do better.
And Mary Krueger.
I think next steps are we make sure that the legislation that we passed is carried out in the right way. You know, there's definite protections in there for employees when it comes to THC testing, but having it in legislation versus what's in practice are two very different things. So, you know, supporting Jasmine in the work that she wants to do, and I'd encourage folks to join the local Rock Normal chapter to continue to stay involved in the fight for marijuana justice, because just because we legalize doesn't mean that the fight's over. Mm-hmm.
And are you an optimist in these regards?
I am. I'm optimistic. The facts are out there. It's just about having the conversations.
I appreciate this. And, you know, listeners, I'm just getting a lot of emails late in the hour here. So if I didn't get to them on the air, know that I will read them. I definitely want to hear what you think about this, because this is not the only conversation we'll have. This is an ongoing conversation for this society, for the state, for the city, and let's keep having it productively together. Jasmine Regler, thank you for making time for the program. It's nice talking to you, and I look forward to when we can do it again.
Thank you for having me, Evan.
Also from the Citywide Tenant Union, Barbara Rivera, sharing your story and your experience. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Evan.
Mary Krueger from Rock Normal, thank you. I know we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Evan.
And there's more connections coming up.